In small towns, everyone knows everyone and everyone's business. So you got to have local knowledge in order to pick a jury and to examine local witnesses. It's also important to know something about the town and the people and the surrounding country. If you're from a big city and you're going to try a case in a small town, I'd suggest hiring competent local trial counsel.
The Texas Hill Country is one of the most beautiful places on earth. In this podcast, recent Hill Country resident Tom Fox visits with the people and organizations that make this one of the most unique areas of Texas. Join Tom as he explores the people, places, and their activities of the Texas Hill Country.
Today I have with me Craig Walcott. I've known Craig since college. We both UT grads, had a lot of fun over the years. And Craig, first of all, welcome to the Hill Country Podcast.
Well, thank you, Tom. Glad to be here.
So, Craig, could you tell us a little bit about your where you grew up and your professional background?
Tom, I grew up in Houston, Texas. My father was a native of Center Point, so that's what got my interest out here. But attended high school in Houston, attended the University of Texas, like you said, then married my high school sweetheart, Deborah, and we have four children and a grandchild.
So, you've been practicing law a while. Could you tell us the nature of your practice and really maybe some of the honors you've received over the years?
Well, Tom, I've been practicing law for 39 years. I was with one firm as a law clerk, an associate, a partner, and then a management committee member, doing civil trial law and personal injury law. I'm board certified in both of those areas. And I've also been recognized by the Super Lawyers organization 6 out of the last 10 years.
So you practiced law in Houston for quite some time, but then you moved out here to the Hill Country. Could you tell us what brought you to the Hill Country?
Sure. We were partners in a ranch in South Texas, which was sold. After a year without a hunting place, Deborah said, you need to get out in the country more. So we started looking at Center Point and just gradually looking west. I had a friend who I asked, how did he find his place? He said, You look, and you'll know it when you find it. Well, Deborah found this old ranch headquarters west of Rock Springs. We went and looked at nice frame house, foreman's bunkhouse, sheds, pens, just the perfect arrangement. We were walking down the hill and looked back up at the headquarters and saw a double rainbow ending on the headquarters. We thought it was a sign. We signed the contract the next day.
That's great. I love that story. And actually, that's about how my wife and I found our house in outside of Kerrville. We walked out on the back deck. I looked at her and I said, this is it, isn't it? And she said, this is it. So, but you've actually bought more than the ranch. You bought a historic hotel in Rock Springs. Could you tell us about that and really your wife's, Deborah's work on the hotel?
Sure. In 2004, we bought the ranch and began working on it. Then in 2009, we bought the historic Rock Springs Hotel, and Deborah moved out there. We renovated, remodeled the hotel incrementally, just going from the lobby and then further into the hotel while operating as a traditional hotel. In 2012, after our fourth child, Clay, graduated from high school, I resigned from the Houston law firm and moved out here to Rock Springs and to Kerrville, where I'm practicing law.
Craig, you've tried cases literally across Texas, but I wanted to maybe focus on the Hill Country because you've tried cases across the Hill Country. Could you really just explain the breadth and depth of the places you've practiced law and tried cases here in the Hill Country?
I've handled civil litigation cases from Austin and San Antonio to Fredericksburg and Kerrville to Rock Springs and Del Rio. That's an area that covers 17 counties from Llano in the east to Del Rio in the west.
So as you know, I'm a recovering trial lawyer as well. But I always practiced in Houston, although I did try multiple cases in some of the smaller counties around Harris County. Could you tell our audience what, in your opinion, are some of the big differences between trying cases in a smaller jurisdiction as opposed to a big city?
In small towns, everyone knows everyone and everyone's business. So you got to have local knowledge in order to pick a jury and to examine local witnesses. It's also important to know something about the town and the people and the surrounding country. If you're from a big city and you're going to try a case in a small town, I'd suggest hiring competent local trial counsel. We had a Rock Springs trial once where an Austin lawyer came in representing an Austin outsider for alleged loss of cedar trees. The jury and the locals were laughing during the entire case. They brought in an arborist, expert witness from Austin, to testify on the value of the cedar trees that they claimed they were going to plant for the proceeds from the case. They didn't realize cedar trees in Edwards County are considered a nuisance or a trash tree, and they consume valuable water and they're best removed. The Austin outsider and his Austin lawyer lost the trial.
You had one pretty funny example that you were going to share with us, and it's really a question of, I think, something we learned in our first trial ad class, which is don't ask one question too many. But you had you were in a trial where somebody did that, not you, but could you tell us that story, because it's a great story?
Sure. We had a trial in Rock Springs where a Dallas lawyer asked a question he did not know the answer to. He asked it of my wife, Deborah. He says, "You're not a historian, are you?" And Deborah replied, "Au contraire." She then told him of her service on the board of the Edwards County Historical Commission, her writing books on the ranch and the hotel, and her applying for and being awarded a Texas Historical Marker for the ranch.
One of the other things that strikes me about the difference in perhaps being a bigger city lawyer and a smaller town lawyer is you really have to be a master of all trades and a jack of all trades. And that's led you to handle a variety of cases. Could you talk about some of the different varieties of cases you've handled through trial?
My focus is on personal injury cases, primarily trucks and car wrecks and that sort of thing, frequently involving distracted driving with cell phones. And cell phone use while driving has been described as even worse than drunk driving because it distracts the driver in three ways. Visually and looking at the screen and the controls, manually handling the device and trying to control it, and cognitively. The driver is talking and listening, and thoughts and emotions are involved. So it's extremely dangerous, and the solution is turn off your phone before you head out.
So what are some of the other kind of general legal issues that you tried or at least have worked on here in the Hill Country?
Well, I had a property damage case for one of our deputy sheriffs out in Edwards County. At 3 a.m., a driver fell asleep at the wheel, hit one of his fences, and pulled it up for a quarter of a mile before stopping. Liability was clear, and the damages were undisputed. The fence just needed to be replaced. The insurance adjuster dragged it out for 6 months. He finally came to me. We sued the driver, and we recovered both the cost of the fence and the cost of removing and returning the cattle to the pasture so he could pay his lawyer. The very satisfied client said, "I should have called you sooner."
It also strikes me that from time to time you might pick up some cases involving animal law. What's that like? Is it based on or similar to human law, if I can use that phrase, but maybe personal injury? Or what are some of the key differences, and how do you approach an animal law case, recognizing people may be kind of emotionally attached to an animal that is killed?
Well, for pets, it's a challenging case in that an animal that is killed, the recovery is limited to the economic value of the pet, you know, as opposed, and you cannot recover mental anguish damages. So that's not a lot of activity in that field, but we do have incidents where people run into livestock out on the road, and the Texas Supreme Court recently gave us an opinion which resolved a conflict in the courts of appeals. And essentially, if the crash is on a state or a federal highway, the driver, in order to recover, must show that the livestock owner knowingly permitted the livestock to roam at large. And so if you're a driver or have a family or friend in this situation, you immediately need to look for an open gate or a broken or a low fence, photograph it, and if you can get witnesses, get witnesses. If you're the rancher or the livestock owner, you want to check your fences and your gates and take photographs of them, have witnesses to establish they were in good shape.
One of my observations in the 10 months or so I've lived out here is there's a lot of animals crossing highways, whether it be deer, whether it be sheep, whether it be ram, whether it be any other kind of animal. Is there really any secret to if someone's either runs into a deer or a deer jumps across the road and hits their car into getting a recovery from their insurance carrier?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can make a claim on your own policy, of course. But as Deborah tells me, the solution is really just to slow down. And let me explain also on livestock being out in the road. The law is different if you're on a farm to market or a ranch road. Then you need to check the county's stock law to see if any stock is prohibited on being out on the highway. And finally, there are 23 out of Texas's 254 counties that are still open range, primarily in West Texas, where the owner of the livestock is not obligated to prevent his livestock from being on the road. So the driver is responsible for keeping an eye out.
Craig, over these years, have you had a favorite case that you took to trial that you could tell us about?
Tom. I had a case representing our son, Clay, in Austin over a used car sale. The seller said the car was problem-free when it was actually consumed a quart of oil a week. Clay had had the vehicle checked out by a mechanic, and he gave it a clean bill of health. But when Clay went back to him about this oil consumption, the mechanic said, well, the only person who's going to know that is the owner or whoever's putting oil in. And if he doesn't tell you, you're not going to know. It's not visible from an inspection. So Clay and I rescinded the contract, and we offered the vehicle back to the seller, but he refused to return the money. We sued him for fraud by non-disclosure. Now, the case was tried to a Travis County jury. Clay was a great witness, and the jury gave us everything we asked for. It was fun to try a case with my son and rewarding that the jury saw the fraud. Plus, we repaid our money promptly. The defendant's Harvard and Baylor Law trained lawyer realized a fraud judgment may not be so good for a young man's career prospects.
Craig, you talked about some of the unique challenges of trying a case in a smaller county, particularly around the jury pool and the people who may sit on the jury, but really, what's it like with the judges and your fellow lawyers? I assume there's also that level of familiarity that you may see the judge quite often, and the people that you may be across the table against today, they may be your co-counsel tomorrow. So I was wondering if you could maybe speak a little bit about that part of your practice.
Yeah, Tom, I think there's a little more collegiality here in a rural practice out in the country. You know, in big cities, you may have a case with a lawyer and never see him again the rest of your life. Out here, you will see other lawyers and, of course, the judges frequently. So it encourages cooperation and a spirit of, you know, friendliness and cooperation.
Craig, I'd like to turn to really the Hill Country now and ask you, what makes the Hill Country so special for Craig Walcott?
Well, Tom, what I really enjoy are the friendly people, the beautiful scenery, and the excellent climate and cool breezes. It's just a great place to be.
You know, coming from Houston, I don't think I could have put it any better myself. But what about the practice of law and what you've been able to do with your career since you've moved out here?
I've had, like you said, a wide variety of cases, met a lot of local people, the judges, of course, and other lawyers, and it's been very rewarding. And I also helped Deborah at the hotel on the weekends.
We didn't touch upon your golfing, and you're an avid golfer. You've been, at least since I've known you, and probably long before that, but do you have any favorite golf courses here in the Hill Country?
Tom, I really enjoy Comanche Trace here in Kerrville. They have three nines, excellent greens, and the people are great. But I also have a second favorite, the Rock Springs Country Club. It's nine holes, sand greens, no bunkers, no water. This is reportedly the last sand green golf course still in operation in Texas.
So I've got I get together with some buddies from law school every year, and they're going to come down here this year, and maybe I should bring them out to the Rock Springs Country Club.
I can get you on.
Well, Craig, unfortunately, we're near the end of our time for this episode, but I was wondering if our listeners wanted any more information on yourself or your practice or to follow up with you on anything you've said, how could they do so?
Well, Tom, thanks for having me here today. I've really enjoyed it. For more information, please see CraigWolcott.com, my website.
Craig, thanks so much, and I look forward to continuing this conversation.
Thank you much.
This is Tom Fox. Some of the upcoming guests on the Hill Country podcast include Jason Skull, the artist in residence at the Western Museum of Art, Stephen Patty Holcomb, whose passion of providing books to libraries in Caribbean islands led them to opening a bookstore in Kerrville, and author Joanne Easley, who writes fiction about complicated women, all coming up on the Hill Country podcast. If you have a story you would like to tell and you live in the Hill Country, I hope you will contact me. I want to tell the stories of the people, places, and things that make the Hill Country the most unique part of Texas. I hope you will join me in this exploration of love. Thanks so much for listening.